Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Battlecast. I am your host, Seth Vilo, for another cool, awesome Friday special edition of the Battlecast. I had a busy week, so here we are a day later, and I've got two intrepid swords with me. First off, we've got the one, the only man who's been here a billion times, P. McGee.
Hello, hello.
And joining him is the walking, talking encyclopedia, R. Sigma himself.
Hello!
Hooray! It's been a while since you've been on, right, Sigma?
It's been a few months. It was for VGC.
That's right.
Yeah, that was back in February, so...
Yeah. It feels so... Like, you know, nature is finally healing. As of recording, the CDC just did their announcement that things are finally going back to kind of sort of normal-ish, so time is skewed. I can't wait till March of 2020 finally ends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh. It was a Friday the 13th, and everything just went berserk after that, so oh well. But we're here. We're here to talk about Pokemon and how they fight each other, so it'll be fun. What have you guys been up to just... On the topic of Pokemon fighting each other, though, what have you guys been up to? How about you, McGee? What Pokemon competitive, whatever-wise, has been on your mind?
I've been looking at and playing lots of different formats for Draft League because I've gotten really interested in the format since this last season of PBL. Ah. I didn't have a phenomenal season. I squeaked into playoffs but was swiftly eliminated by who I suspect could well win it. We'll see if K-King finishes the job. Other than that, though, I've been playing some good old PFTT. I'm looking forward to getting stomped by either Tapu Nani or Jeremy because they win most of the seasons of PFTT. So that run's almost over as well. So I'm looking forward to my swift removal from that and then off to Summer League.
Righty-o. Oh, yeah. Summer League's going to be getting into swing here soon. Wow. It's almost summer. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I know.
My watermelon hasn't even grown yet. What's going on, weather? How about you, Sigma? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been enjoying the random free-for-alls on Showdown. Those are
really fun. Those are nonsense. I love those.
I wish they were ranked so bad. It's four-player free-for-alls with random. Like, you get random Pokemon, and it's great. Oh. So great. Dynamax is
that
legal too.
Hilarious. Oh, like, yeah.
It's just chaos and I love it.
Half is the things have protect, thing you half can have do? Citrus berries. Yeah, it's like the top thing. Like after random battles, it's like random for
yeah.
Football.
Oh.
Wow. That's so cool. Wow. Okay, I need to look into this after we're done recording.
Yes.
It's so easy to just jump into a game and it's like, yeah, let's have fun.
Okay. That's cool.
It's good.
Neat. Well, awesome. I've been kind of similar to P. McGee here, where it was kind of draft was on my mind, and we, much like you, P. McGee, we got swiftly eliminated round one, which, you know, as sad as I am about it, I'm okay with that. I was kind of tired of our team of nine. We had Thievul on our draft, so it was basically a team of nine.
I kept making the comment throughout the season for you guys, because you and Linian have, like, you guys like to have some spice, and your team was just, like, spiceless, because so much of it was Gen 8 that has no move pool at all. Like, Thievul was one of your spicier options to play with, and you couldn't bring Thievul ever. It was fun to watch, though.
Yeah. It was okay. It was okay. Melmetal has become, I think, one of my favorite Pokemon, though, just in general. So probably half because of this draft, but
yes.
Oh well. Finally done with the draft, though. That's a relief. Other than that, I've been trying to just play OU a little bit more so that I'm, you know, still on top of things and trying out new funky sets. We'll talk about one of them that I've taken off the shelf here and dusted off. So we'll talk about that in the spice rack later on. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. And I think with that, why wait any longer? Let's hop over to tier time. We'll see you on the other side.
And now it's time to see the results of this month's blood, sweat, and tearing.
And welcome back to tier time. We're going to talk the little tears and all the things that make us cry about them. Get it? Tears. And...
clever.
Starting us off with the most boring of them all, we've got McGee. What's going on in Ubers, my friend?
Yeah, so nothing.
Pretty much.
But there's always the continued talk about Shadow Tag, because Shadow Tag is always being talked about. And so they might take a look at that.
Oh, they did already for that one. My apologies.
Oh.
Yeah, they got rid of Shadow Tag, but at the same time they were talking about that, they were talking about Shadow Rider.
I see. So Shadow Rider might... The shadows are causing problems.
Shadow... They need a light bulb up in there.
Yes. It's dark. Calyrex Shadow Rider might be getting a look at. I see. Makes sense. And then Landorus Incarnate is doing good work up there. So good on you, Lando. Lando I gets a home because Edgequake is pretty good. Who knew?
Right?
Oh, I'm shocked.
And then you had
really
a little bit of fighting coverage.
Cracking things open.
Yeah, and you're golden.
Oh, so it's not even really using...
What you thinking?
Hmm?
Sheer Force?
Yeah, Sheer Force.
It kind of
does. Yeah, I guess
does.
Not.
The Edge is mainly Rock Slide, so it still taps into Sheer Force for a bonus. And then Earth Power, obviously. Super Power is the only thing on the moveset that doesn't really get boosted by Sheer Force. I think the other move is Sludge Wave, typically, or something. But yeah, Earth Power, Rock Slide, because it cracks open a lot of things up there. What is it? Eternatus obviously folds.
Yes.
Duskmane Necrozma folds. Blissey slash Chansey fold. It's a pretty
lots
good mixed attacker.
Yeah, lots of things can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yep. All right. We'll move right along, and I'll take care of OU, because this is the thing that got me really excited over the last month. I know I was talking about it at the beginning, or at last month. They did the Zamazenta crowned test. They completed it, and unfortunately, it remains banned. They did not bring it down from OU, and I was surprised. It was like a 70% voting to keep it banned.
Wow, I really shocked. Thought it would have been higher. I would have. I didn't do this suspect test. I actually took this one off, and I kind of regret that, because I think it would have been a fun enough addition in OU for at least a little while, because I don't think it was breaking the metagame. A lot of things people normally carried were addressing it pretty well. You know, it wasn't handling Slowbro super well. Pyukumuku was having fun. I know that's not super common. Pyukumuku could have some fun in there.
Of course you say that.
Things like Dragapult were still outspeeding it. So, like, it had lots of ways of being handled, I thought. But I guess I understand.
I'm bummed. I really tried to get in on that suspect. I kept messing up my ELO and my GXE on it. So I ended up doing it three times, like making three accounts to try and do it, and I screwed up all of them. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. But yeah, it's still banned, unfortunately. So the metagame, for the most part, is kind of what everyone was used to before that, after the other bans. There is not currently talk of another suspect, you know, in the near future. There is a lot of chatter on what to ban next, which kind of, if I'm being honest, grinds my gears, because it's like, it's fine, guys. Like we talked about before the Zamazenta, mm-hmm. it was the time to do Zamazenta because everything was balanced. There wasn't mm-hmm. anything out of place. You don't have to have a suspect test going on at all times, in yeah. my opinion.
You can just,
we've just gotten so adjusted to having the meta always be on the move for like the last couple
which
of years.
Which is weird because Gen 7, we lived with like an awful meta for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's the fact that the council's being a lot more active, a lot more transparent with things, that people have kind of gotten conditioned to always something on the mind. And yes. quite frankly, we've had to trim a lot of garbage out this whole last couple of years. So we're finally at a stable state. So some of the things that people are talking about suspecting or maybe possibly being too much are Dragapult is the big one right now. That
makes sense. Yeah. It's faster. It's faster than Spectre and has more coverage. So yeah, I could understand. Yeah.
And people are real upset about the spec set as the primary offender because it just spams Shadow Ball for days. And, you know, if something's kind of a counter, that'll be the exact moment that it gets a special defense drop. And then it's not a counter anymore.
Yeah, because Chansey and Blissey took a drop off a bit after Spectrier got banned because Spectrier couldn't handle them all that well. And now that Spectrier is gone, they're not being carried as much. And if they're not showing up as much, then you're basically putting it all on Mandibuzz. And that's not a perfect counter.
Yeah. And I get it. It makes sense, but I am very much in the not broken camp for Dragapult, in my opinion.
It's fine.
I concur.
Like, before the game's released, I was terrified of it. After playing the games, it's like, yeah, it's a fine Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly balanced.
If it gets a physical ghost move, whew.
Yeah, if it had Poltergeist, maybe we could talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
Or even something crummy like Spirit Shackle that doesn't take two turns, like... whatever.
Shadow Claw.
Or even Shadow Claw with its tiny little hands. So... I don't know why I said Spirit Shackle. That was really random.
That would be broken. Move. It's like, let's block them from retreating, too.
Imagine a little Dreepy holding its shadow down. That would be cute as heck.
I'm not
anyway. Yeah. Oh, that would be adorable. Anyway, other things that people are talking about banning, they always put together some combination of Teleport, Regenerator, and Future Sight. And kind of heavy-duty boots at the same time. They're basically saying we want to ban the slow twins, but they don't actually ever say they want to ban the slow twins.
Yes.
A lot of arguments are framed like, oh, Future Sight is broken. And, you know, I never type it because I want to be nice, but it's like, all right then, why isn't Natu in OU? Future Sight plus Teleport is broken. Yep, same argument. Why isn't Natu too much for OU like Bidoof was with Moody? Like, if it's the move that's broken, it needs to break everything that has the move. Trapping
is broken.
Or at least
more than like two things, right? Like,
yeah, it's literally just the slow twins, and it's because they have the combination of Teleport, Regenerator, Future Sight, and the capacity to carry heavy-duty boots. It's all four of those things together. Zatu has Future Sight and Teleport, you know, not to say Natu, but actually Zatu has that. No one uses it. Reuniclus has Regenerator and Future Sight. No one uses it for that. Jirachi has Future Sight and a pivot move like U-Turn and Doom Desire if you want to hit something different, but no one uses it for that. Clef has Teleport, and despite people whining about Clefable, it's not broken. It's just annoying. And people don't like facing defensive things. They're just annoying, but they're not broken. I didn't build my team good enough to break past a single Clefable. Well, then that's your team's problem, not the metagame's problem.
Honestly, I'm still disappointed that they didn't lower Regenerator down to 25%. But
yeah,
with this gen, like, that would have been an easy nerf that I think most people would have been like, yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. That would be okay. Like, that's a full set of spikes that you heal off. You don't get positive net healing from full set of spikes.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my rant on if you're going to say ban the slow twins, just say ban the slow twins, please. Stop dancing around the subject. another thing that people are talking about banning is heavy-duty boots, which would be an enormous ban, because if OU bans something, kind of like we saw with the Dynamax thing, if a tier above it bans it, everything below it bans it as well. So when OU banned Dynamax, everything below it banned Dynamax. When I think it was NU banned Snow Warning, PU also banned Snow Warning at the same time because it affects everything below it. So heavy-duty boots, an item ban this high up, means nothing can use them. So that's a big one.
I honestly like heavy-duty boots a lot this gen.
Yes.
I do too.
Yes.
I do too.
I like that they weaken the power of hazards in like a fair way because it costs an item slot. Like,
agreed. Like, I was really upset with Stealth Rock in Generation 4 when it came out and was like, people talked about it being mandatory and everything, and the very definition of over-centralizing where Pokemon rose and fall because of the existence of these floating rocks.
Yes.
It's a single move that completely warps the metagame around it. It completely invalidated a whole lot of Pokemon. So at the cost of an item slot, I'm okay with that not happening.
It lets flying types be viable. Like, that's good.
Yes. Yeah.
And fire. And the combination.
Yes. Volcarona can exist in this meta without your team having super strong, like, hazard control.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be spending half your game keeping rocks off the field so Volcarona can come in for, like, a revenge sweep. You can just do it whenever it fits.
Yep. Which, again, goes back to this, if you're going to want to ban a specific Pokemon, just say you want to ban that Pokemon.
Yes.
If your argument is for Volcarona because heavy-duty boots exist, just ban Volcarona. If you want to, if it's the Slow Twins because they can pivot forever, just ban the Slow Twins. Please, make my life easy. Make your life easy.
Heavy-duty boots do so much more good than they do bad. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's the opportunity cost of an item. Like, you can't recover. You don't have leftovers anymore. You don't have damage buffs. Like,
also, last I checked,
to hazards.
Knockoff was still a pretty good move that was easy to carry around and spam. That hasn't changed this generation. Like, you know, there isn't something with Defiant that's dominating the meta to the point where, like, it's bad to run Knockoff. Like, that's why we did Zamazenta as a suspect test. One of the motivating factors was everyone wanted a cushion for Knockoff, and Zamazenta fit it perfectly.
Yep.
But
yeah,
didn't pan out.
Another reason I'm real upset that it didn't get unbanned.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But on to something that actually kind of makes sense to ban, because we're all kind of no ban right now. There's big discussion right now about the luck-based items, which is kind of what leads into what the topic is today. And there's a big thread in the policy review area about those items that you can go look at. And if you're high enough badge level, comment on, if dear listener. things like King's Rock, Bright Powder, Quick Claw, Lax Incense, or something. One of those also does the same thing as King's Rock. Those luck-based items are causing problems and skewing tournament results occasionally. That's where it really comes in.
Well, because wasn't there a time where, like, Sandville Garchomp was running like Bright Powder and just clicking substitute and hoping for RMG, and like that was like messing up a whole tournament
like a couple months ago.
Yeah,
and it's coming back again.
Yeah, but like ideally Evasion Claws should handle that, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know how Bright Powder is not banned. Like, I always just assume it was, and then it's like, oh yeah, you could run Bright Powder. It's like, why?
yeah, but I mean King's Rock as well. If you're something like a Cloyster that hits five times with a skill link Icicle Spear, you have a 45-ish% chance of just outright flinching what should be a counter until it dies.
Yeah. I thought it was like 42-ish, but yeah.
Something in the mid-40s. And, you know, if you're a dark type that has the move Beat Up, you get a sixth use instead of just five if your team is healthy. I've seen a lot of Beat Up King's Rock leads
when people are feeling particularly meme-y.
Yep, like a Weavile, even a Dragapult can use it.
Gross. No.
Yeah, and so you get six shots of it, so that's even higher than 42% because it counts itself for the Beat Up. If your team's healthy enough, you can do that and flinch something down that should definitely counter you.
I guess if you're trying to prove something's broken, you just spam King's Rock beat up in the meta until you've angered everyone to the point they ban the item. So if you're trying to ban an item, that's how you go about it. You just make it
oppressive.
And
that's what people are doing.
Yeah.
Yep, that is exactly what people are doing. And on a similar thing, there's the Quick Claw, which was really only brought into play because Slowbro exists, Galarian specifically. With Quick Claw and Quick Draw, it's like also a 40-ish percent chance of just going
first. I think that's just cute, though, because it's Galarian Slowbro.
Yeah, it's one mon. I can let that slide. He's not dominating the meta. He just shows up every now and again on like a team.
Yeah, right, but...
Like, he's not overly threatening either, because it's like, if he's Quick Draw, that means he's not regenerating. So, you know, that's good.
Belly Drum, yo. Belly Drum, Quick Draw.
Oh, God.
That set is bonkers. I tell you what, that one's went ballistic on a couple of teams that I faced.
That's adorable. I love that.
Yeah. So, with that, we've kind of gotten a snippet of what the topic's going to be about. So, why not yank something off the spice rack and finally let Sigma talk about Yu-Yu? So I've been tinkering with Tapu Bulu, which is really fun. And I kind of thought of it as both I wanted a grass type and a fairy type on a team, and that was the only thing that really fit the bill well. And I wanted something that could counter Dragapult and Urshifu Rapid Strike. So in comes Tapu Bulu. How does it counter Dragapult, you ask? With Specs Shadow Balls flying all over the place? My friend, have you ever heard of Assault Vest Tapu Bulu? It used to be a cool set back in Gen 7. So I dusted that sucker off, brought it off the shelf, and I tinkered with the EV spread, and I think I've got something here. I dismantled one poor fool yesterday in a battle that I was doing online with just this. So I think it works. The set is... Tapu Bulu with Assault Vest. Obviously, the ability is Grassy Surge. EVs are as follows. 248 HP, 56 Attack, 28 Defense, 80 Special Defense, and 96 Speed. Moveset... Oh, it's an Adamant Nature, by the way. Moveset is Horn Leech, Close Combat, Stone Edge, and a new move that it gets, Darkest Lariat. So... Didn't have Close Combat or Darkest Lariat last gen, so it was kind of cramped from what it could really do with those Assault Vest move slots. Now it's got real cool options.
It's got coverage.
The EV spread accomplishes stuff. Good it's got coverage. It can actually fire back on a Dragapult or even like an Aegislash. So
Player Off would have been cute. I'm still disappointed.
I'm still disappointed.
Like, I get he couldn't have Grassy Glide because he's Bulu and he can't be good, but Player Off would have been nice.
Yeah, it's like, I can understand Grassy Glide. That's fine. But Play Rough, come on.
Yeah, for real. But I get it with the dex entry. It says it's a pacifist. But, I mean, it's also got Close Combat. Like, what the... Never mind.
And Darkest Lariat. Like, there's nothing...
And Darkest Lariat.
There's nothing clean about Darkest Lariat.
Although a Beyblade Tapu Bulu is about the funniest thing I can imagine. So the EV spread accomplishes a couple things. It outruns max speed Crawdont, obviously with Adamant Nature, because that's what Crawdont runs. Dragapult's Shadow Ball is a 4-hit KO in terrain without Rocks Up. So if you just switch Bulu in on a Shadow Bolt, on a Shadow Ball without Rocks in, you can fire back pretty well against a Dragapult.
I mean, you can pretty safely click Horn Leech 2 on the expected switch out and just know you're going to get your health back to full. So you're just like... continuously shutting down Dragapult until it's trying to guess on a Fire Blast is where it gets to.
Or just peel off 2/3 of its health with Darkest Lariat.
Yes.
That's also something you can do. The attack investment hits a jump point with the Adamant Nature. The defense, and combined with the HP, avoids a Close Combat 2-hit KO from Urshifu in the worst situation when you don't have when you take rocks damage. And if terrain expires the turn you switch it in, so you don't get the healing. So, in the worst case scenario, you can avoid a 2-shot from Urshifu's Close Combat.
Do Urshifus not run, like, Poison Jab or Iron Head?
Typically, no.
It's
U-turn, what I've seen and used.
Surging Strikes, sometimes Priority.
Close Combat.
And Close Combat.
Okay. Yeah.
So they
Aqua
just Jet's
typically
that
the fourth move
Got
I've
it.
Seen. Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, or Thunder Punch maybe for like a Toxapex so you can like hit it hard on a big switch.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen Poison Jab ones. Normally they just U-turn around and you can absorb those pretty okay.
I'd imagine you take that okay.
Yeah.
It's a neutral hit. It's a neutral hit. You're fine. You're a Bulu. You have a different stat.
So that's the spread that I've settled on. I'll probably tinker with it more, but I think it hits a lot of good numbers right now. There's 24 extra EVs to play with, meeting those thresholds, so I just dropped them into special defense because it's got the assault vest on, so why the heck not? That's Tapu Bulu. I'm going to shut up now. And Sigma, what's going on in UU?
Not much. No ban. There have been no bans. There have been no unbans. Everyone's starting to hate screens offense because there's a lot of good things that can set screens down there, let's be honest. Alolan Ninetales, stupid, good with screens. Aurora Veil, yuck. Klefki's down there, Grimmsnarl's down there. There's lots of options. A million things get, like, opportunities to put screens up, and they just add a lot of bulk to your team. Apparently there's some talk about maybe banning Light Clay because people are getting annoying, and there's too many screen setters to actually get rid of, the problem children. And if they were to do so, it would also clear out the under tiers.
Yep, meaning Light Clay would only be legal at OU, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Also, waters are a problem because Zero Aura and Slowking went up to OU last time there was a rotation. So there's a lot of waters in the Pokedex, and they're usually okay. Not all of them can be in OU, like Slowbro and Slowking and all their friends. But, yeah, they're apparently a big issue. And the three things that people are looking at right now, how is Mew down here? That's disgusting. Spikes.
Yeah. Oh, why is it down there? I don't know, because there's better things in OU, but what it's doing down here is spikes and nasty plot.
Well, yeah. No, Mew is a terrifying thing. But the other things they're looking at are Primarina and Galarian Slowbro. Oh, boy.
Yep. Mainly for the nasty plot set, but also the quick draw belly drum set, because why not?
Yeah. Oh, Primarina is just a good Pokemon. It's not good enough for OU, but it's a very scary offensive Pokemon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's just outclassed by Feeny for OU, so like, there's no reason to run it in OU, but
for the most part, it's more powerful for sure, but yeah.
It has pivot, which is nice. You can do a lot with pivot. So that opens up a lot of momentum, especially in hyper offense where you can just kind of pivot around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Ugh. Yeah.
All righty. I mean, that's UU. Not a whole lot going on there for once. So
no.
Moving right along. McGee, tell us about RU.
Yeah. Also not a ton actively happening. There have been no bans or unbans. Nothing has come into the tier recently. Like UU, they are discussing the possibility of banning Light Clay because hyper offense screens just tends to do well in lower tiers when a lot of the defensive checks and things that could shut that down just don't exist. So unsurprising. Toxtricity and Togekiss are doing well, but neither they were asked in a recent survey if they should be banned, but everyone seems to be okay with it, so they're staying around right now. Zerkatree, unsurprisingly, is taking off because if you don't have a good ground type, and even if you do have a good ground type, it still has Energy Ball. You know, it's got Thunderbolt, Energy Ball, Dazzling Gleam, Volt Switch, slap a scarf on it. It's a happy little piece of electricity because, what is it, like a 181 special attack stat or something like that?
Yeah, it's something stupid like that. Yes, that sounds like a prime number. That sounds like a prime number. We'll go with it.
That sounds like a prime.
Who needs other stats when you can just give that, slap a scarf on it, and if you can't resist whatever move it's clicking, it's going to start doing damage. It's silly. I like Zerkatree when he's allowed to spam buttons. He's very, very fun. Roserade went from 46th to 6th as a good electric check. Gastrodon and Flygon are doing similar viability ranking increases. And then Rain is gathering. Oh, wait. Beraskut isn't in RU right now?
Beraskut dropped to RU, yeah.
Oh, God. So wherever Skuta goes, the rain rises. And so
yep.
That's what's happening in RU right now, because if you can just slap around flip turns, liquidations, close combats, poison jabs, or whatever other coverage move you need, it's kind of silly. And Beraskut is a silly mod with two good stats in the most relevant of places. It's attack and it's speed. And then you give it Swift Swim and it's even happier. So I guess he's always going to do okay wherever he goes. It's just how okay he's going to do will vary month to month.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's happening in RU.
All righty. Well, moving on to NU. That's the only tier that had actual bans take place, and one of them was redacted. Right after last month's Battlecast, they quick banned Entei and Glastrier, and did a suspect test for Glastrier, and it is now unbanned in NU, so it's back. It's like it never left. So that's the tiering actions that have taken place in NU. As for metagame trends, Vaporeon right now is crazy good because of what the threats are down there. Things like Glastrier is, of course, a big monster down there, and Vaporeon can kind of do a good job checking it. Blastoise is also really good down there, and Vaporeon can kind of check that too with Water Absorb and being able to haze away its Shell Smash boosts.
Ooh, that's
speaking
true.
Of which, yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, Vaporeon with Haze is probably really good because Glastrier also sets up down there, whether it's Swords Dance or Iron Defense, and probably, presumably, Body Press, to be stupid.
good news is it's slow, so, like,
yeah,
you can
haze before you get hit.
Yeah, it's like, Vaporeon doesn't care. It's not going to be faster.
mm-hmm. But yeah, Glastrier usually is running substitute plus setup move plus something else for attacking. That's typically what has been done. Scare something out, set a sub, and hit it really, really hard. Blastoise is something that dropped, actually, last tier shift that happened at the beginning of April into NU. So a lot of people are real excited to be using it.
I'm not surprised. I mean, if the tier generally addresses offensive water well, just doesn't have a good home, and it's not the most efficient defensive piece because it can't heal itself really. So
yeah,
I guess I'm not surprised, especially if Gastrodon's hanging out in RU and Roserade's hanging out in RU, like Blastoise isn't having a blast.
Yep. Yeah. He's doing a lot of work down here to the point that some people are considering looking at him, but not quite there yet.
Yeah.
A common type of core, if you want to build an NU team, is Vaporeon plus Steel type, and you can pick whatever Steel type you want. One really good one that's having a lot of fun right now is Assault Vest Copperajah, which is absolutely bonkers, because it gets moves it shouldn't get, if you ask me.
play rough?
Yeah, the four that it typically runs with the Assault Vest set are Heavy Slam, good solid stab move, Heat Crash, Power Whip, and Stone Edge. That's just stellar coverage. And I know I'm not Game Corner. I know that. But I can't help but share this trivia fact with you loyal Battlecast listeners so that next time you're asked this question, you can actually give the correct answer. What is the heaviest Pokemon?
Celesteela.
Ah, you might say Celesteela or Cosmoem. But you are, in fact, incorrect. While they do have... Well, yep, that's exactly why.
I'm stealing your trivia from you as you're doing it.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're exactly correct. It has heavy metal, which puts it over the 999.9 kilogram upper limit of Pokemon weights. So,
I mean, it's more useful on that than Duraludon. Poor Duraludon.
Right? Yeah, it's got, what, 70 kilograms? Whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can have light metal or heavy metal or stalwart, which does nothing in singles. It's like, what? Why?
You basically don't have an ability at that point.
Yeah.
No, your ability doesn't matter.
Low kick does less now, yay.
But you're already super light. It doesn't matter.
But Copperajah loves it and really wants to be heavy because it's got Heavy Slam and Heat Crash. So it actually does use here. And is the heaviest Pokemon of all of them.
Good on you, buddy. Good on you.
Good on you. Yeah. And if you want to break said core of Vaporeon plus Steel type, have we got the meme sets for you. Try a healthy dose of Dragon Dance Aerodactyl and Crit Kingdra to crack open a Steel Vaporeon core. Dragon Dance Aerodactyl does its thing, you know, max, adamant, heavy duty boots with Dragon Dance, Stone Edge, Crunch, Earthquake, and you crack things open. You know, that's your steel killer. And Kingdra can surprisingly be a steel killer and a water killer because crits are dumb and they bypass Draco Meteor's special attack drop.
If you can just keep spamming Draco Meteor and it still does stupid amounts of damage because it never goes down, then it's pretty good.
Just focus energy up with a scope lens, set sub, and surf and Draco Meteor till the cows come home, and you're in a good place.
It don't matter that you're it doesn't matter that your special attack stat is 0.18 or whatever it gets to. It doesn't matter.
0.25. It's quartered at the lowest, but who cares? It's a crit. It hit them in the neck, so you do more damage.
Just pray they don't have anything with battle armor and you're fine.
Yep. Then you're in big trouble. That's where Aerodactyl comes in. Rawr!
Rawr!
But the things that they're looking at in NU to potentially see if they're unhealthy or anything like that, there's two Pokemon, really. There's Sirfetch'd, which is bonkers with its crazy attack stat and really good ability and really good moves. It's kind of a combination of all those things. It's just slow.
Yeah, I was going to say, its speed's not great. It's 65.
That's what holds it back. And the other Pokemon is Salazzle, because it's way faster and more powerful than it should be, and it can poison things, but I don't think that's the reason. I don't think corrosion is really even a factor. No. I think it's just moves
at
speed.
It's just fast and hits hard.
Yep. It
gets nasty.
Down here, that's what it's used for, is a sweeper. Up in OU, where things have big chonk stats, it's a corrosion.
It's for corrosion,
thing.
Yeah. Corrosion's right. Nice, but like not real. It's not what you're here for.
Exactly, yep. Well, take us home, Sigma. What's PU like?
Once again, no bans, no unbans. The hail abusers are back, but they don't have snow warning anymore because we had to ban snow because the fossils were dumb. So now they have to set their own hail.
Arctivish.
Arctivish doing okay. He bulky. He's setting his hail and he's hitting hard with it. And that's what's happening. Let's see. Council says that things are pretty good right now. Nothing's too broken.
Because, like, in a tier like this, that's that low, like, yes, Arctivish has a crappy 55 speed stat, but, like, there aren't a lot of things in this tier that
so does, like,
super...
everything else.
So, like...
Yeah, everything else is garbage, too.
So you can, like, go full attack, full HP, or something like that. I'm sure there's some speed checks being made for certain things, but you can just do those things, click hail, and you're still going to outspeed everything, because nothing is fast down here, and then... You're thick, because I feel like Arctivish has like a 100 HP set or something stupid high.
90 or 100, one of the two.
Yeah. Silly Mon.
All right. Passimian is arguably the best Pokemon in this tier. It makes a lot of other Pokemon better just by being on the same team. Good for Passimian.
He's going to get court change one day. I stand by that. He'll get court change.
I remember when it was in NU, and it was like, the king of NU last gen. It's sad to hear that he's in PU now.
Yeah. I'm glad that the tier has finally kind of hit a good place with Talonflame Leemake. That was a big thing last month, I think.
I think I remember you talking about that, yeah. The Kangaspike's playstyle is returning. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Which was popular in prior generations. Oh, interesting. It just needs a lot of knockoff support, I assume?
Correct, yeah, for getting rid of boots.
Okay. Yeah. Knockoff support and good defense, of course.
What's the Kangaspike's core? Tell me about this.
Kangaskhan and Spikes, apparently. I haven't really seen too
can
much
he, of it. I've never heard of this
it.
Before either.
Can he set Spikes by himself? I didn't know he could set Spikes.
No.
Or she.
No,
sorry.
You pair it with a Spikes thing.
Okay.
You set Spikes
okay.
And then you like... Kangaskhan's just a good Pokemon. People forget this because the Mega was stupid broken.
Yeah.
But Kangaskhan stats are like fine. It's 90 base speed. I think it's got 100 attack or something like that.
It's got
that.
Good HP and it has Wish. So like
really good coverage. Like it's a solid Pokemon. So this makes sense.
Yeah.
It's run with Clefairy. Oh, Ferroseed. Ferroseed's probably some of the spikes for you.
There we go.
And then we have a regenerator in Tangela that can knock off. Okay. This makes sense.
Clefairy all three can of those knock things off. Can be the knockoff thing.
Yeah. Okay, this makes more sense now. That's cute. I like that strategy.
Yeah. Alrighty. And that is the current state of the various tiers. So we're going to call it there and get to our topic because we're really excited to talk about this one. So we will see you guys on the other side.
And now for our main topic.
And we are back to the topic, and what we wanted to talk about this month was not a tier, not a Pokemon specifically, not even just any kind of tiering strategy as a whole or anything like that. We wanted to talk about items, because they are getting a lot of chatter about the various forums right now. You heard us in Tier Time talk about Heavy Duty Boots as an item possibility, King's Rock and things like that, Light Clay. Items are a big, huge deal ever since they were introduced in Generation 2. And they have been a pinnacle of what makes Pokemon good or bad for a long time. So, yeah, whether it's defensive or offensive, that's it, you know, they make huge differences either way.
It's hard to say, like, if items aren't the most important thing that changed, right? Like, it's probably abilities that did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Items, or the physical special.
Yeah.
Physical special split I'd probably put above it too, but items are like the third most important thing to happen to Pokemon, so.
Yeah.
It's single-handedly changed the viability of things. Not everything, like, but there are definitely a group of mons that have had enormous impact from their access to an item. Obviously, Heavy Duty Boots is the big one this generation, which is impacting a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even something like Eviolite, which enabled, you know, an entire swath of Pokemon that had previously never been considered viable as being used again.
Yes, especially when Knockoff was weak, too, because that made it very difficult to want to run Knockoff week, or not week to week, but in your matches, because if you're not actively trying to take items, and even if you are, it's such a weak move, because it used to be 20 base power.
Yeah.
So, like, you weren't doing – it was just like – it was basically corrosive gas. It wasn't there to do damage. It was there to eliminate an item so you could do damage later.
Yeah, or somehow disable that Pokemon to not be usable. I remember using Knockoff on my Tentacruel in Generation 4 because I really hated something. I don't remember what, but yeah. Or even Airmail on some things because that used to not be trickable.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Clever workarounds.
Yeah, you couldn't knock, you couldn't trick, so I would put it on something like a Restock Suicune, which one of the normal ways to stop it back then was trick a scarf on it. Not anymore.
This is like the before Z moves solution. Just
airmail. Or any of the mails, really.
I love it, though.
Mm-hmm. So a couple big changes. Like, items, they were introduced in Gen 2, and they've had huge item introductions and or changes. Just over the generations. I think one thing that was really big was the introduction of the choice items. And for a quick history lesson, they had choice band in Generation 3, and then Generation 4 introduced scarf and specs.
Yep.
So it had its times to shine, and Gen 4 is when we got all three of the choice items that we have today.
And scarf is probably the most powerful.
It's
of
definitely
the
most impactful. I mean, you'll see bands on some breakers, like, which is why they end up getting banned. Because, like, Urshifu, if banned didn't exist, I think Urshifu Single Strike might have survived the meta. But because you could just slap a band on it and KO everything. Because, I mean, without a band, like, if it stuck with just Life Orb, things like Tangrowth, things like Toxpex could have actually sat there and stopped it. Or Corviknight, maybe. But banned did just enough to break it to the point that nothing really works anymore. So they had to get rid of it. So, yeah.
I'm not saying band and specs are good. I'm saying that giving yourself a different speed tier than what one can expect is so massive. It's like without having to click a setup move.
Yeah. It enables surprise factor in a way that nothing else can.
Yes. Because you're like, I go faster than you. Of course I'm going to get the KO here. And then it goes faster and uses the move that when it KOs you back. And you're like, oh, never mind.
It's like, oh.
Without it, Ditto would be a pure meme.
It'd be the most RNG heavy Pokemon in existence because everything would just be 50-50s. Who goes first?
Yep. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And I mean, those have their, you know, we talked about Dragapult earlier, which might be banned from OU even though it's only operating on a base 100 special attack, which doesn't sound that bad, but specs puts it over that edge.
Yes.
And it's wild the amount of power that just an item can have. And at the opportunity cost of being locked in that move, which for a ghost type isn't bad this generation when that only has one resist and one immunity.
And no pursuit.
Yeah.
So you
even better.
Revenge killed.
But then there are other items. Exactly. Yeah. But then there's another item that was introduced in Gen 4 that really made offensive teams take off because they could effectively break at a way higher multiplicative rate than a choice item or just setting up in general, and that is Life Orb. Because prior to Generation 4, there were a lot of defensive teams that... It was a very stally metagame in Gen 3 and Gen 4, and that's just because it was really hard to break past things. Enter Life Orb gives you freedom of choice to change moves at the cost of health, which if you're a glass cannon, you don't really care about anyway. And a Swords Dance and a Life Orb is huge, like huge multiplicative value to break past things. So,
oh yeah. Like, there might be an argument that 0.3 is too strong. I think it's probably the right number. Maybe 0.25 is better, but I don't. It's always been a good item with the versatility it offers.
Especially if you have that Magic Guard ability.
Or that Sheer
Force. Yeah, there's a reason Nidoking and Nidoqueen, well, especially Nidoking, has been relevant for so long when, like, it's. And it doesn't even use its attack stat most of the time. It's just, it's like 85 or whatever it is, special attack stat. There's a reason it stayed relevant for so long, is because that multiplication of attack boost is just absurd.
Yeah. It's wild. And of course, we can't mention defensive things without something like Leftovers.
Yeah.
That's
what everything ran in Gen 2.
My favorite item.
Everyone had Leftovers.
Yeah. I mean,
or Gen 3, maybe it was.
Because what were your choices then?
Well, because it used to be like, and weather was a big deal. Like, sand was a big deal because Tyranitar was good. So, like, if you were just going to slowly die to sand, you couldn't afford that. So, your Leftovers kept you neutral. It was a silly time.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And, I mean, still, it's a good item to throw on something if you don't know what you should throw on
something.
You
can't go wrong with Leftovers. Unless you're Shedinja. Then you can go wrong.
I was going to say, level fair. Any 6v6 format, like Leftovers is solid. In smaller formats like VGC or Battle Spot singles or Battle Stadium singles now, berries tend to be the more popular option just because battles don't last as long. And, you're going to get more HP back from a citrus berry than you will Leftovers over a long period of time with a lot of Pokemon.
Yeah. Berries lost viability. And like health berries lost a huge amount of viability, I think, in OU after the nerf to the pinch berries this generation.
To be fair, they were probably too strong last generation.
I mean, Incineroar broke the meta with the pinch berry and intimidate spam. He broke the VGC meta.
Yeah.
And because that's the one Pokemon like really watches, they're like, wait a second, this berry health amount is just too much. So it got a needed nerf to 33%, which feels right. Like that's actually like a really healthy.
Yeah. 50% was, 50% was.
It's like, I almost got you. Oh, I'm back to full health. Gluttony, his belly drum back to full health.
Yeah. That was gross. That was actually gross. Yeah. Or you have you also have the stat berries too that saw life at one point in time, like Lychee and Salix.
Yes. Oh, Whimsicott just used a, oh my God, it was wild. We were playing our VGC PFTT match. She used a Whimsicott that had a Pitaya berry, which boosts special attack, and she flung it at a weakness policy Shadow Rider Calyrex. So it got to 2.5 off the fling. It was absurd. It was, I knew she had a piece of tech she was like excited about, but I had no idea what it was. And then that happened and I only won because she had the worst RNG I've ever seen, but that broke me. I thought the game was over, but I'd never seen it. I didn't even know what the berry was called. I'd never seen it used before. And then it came out in like the coolest of fashions.
I'm not sure I know what the berry's name is.
Pitaya. Yeah, it was Pitaya.
I know that.
Never seen it used before.
I was the most voracious, I don't know if that's the right word, whatever, Empoleon user in Gen 4.
Ooh.
There's our back in Gen 4, trademark.
Ooh.
Sub-agility Pitaya berry Empoleon. Ooh. You substitute down, you agility whenever you can, and with Pitaya berry cranking your special attack up and torrent active, your serfs hurt. They hurt bad.
I'm just crossing my fingers that they give Empoleon for some weird reason roost in the remakes. Fingers crossed on that.
Right?
Imagine Empoleon if he could do all the cool things. He'd be like
that would be
Gliscor 2.0, like a new form of Gliscor.
Yeah.
Rocks, defog.
He could defog. He could set rocks. Oh. That would
be offensive. Come on, Empoleon.
He would be OU. Like straight up.
100%. It's the only thing he's missing. That's the only thing that stops him right now is like he just can't get his health back up. So if he could heal with that type combination, whew, I'd be looking forward to it.
Sadly, the defense boosting berries are complete garbage now because you could just run Key Berry and whatever its equivalent is. And I think those are just, yeah, those are just better, yeah, right? Like, compared to the stat pinch berries.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Absolutely.
And those were introduced Gen 6, and those were good. They were actually good. Weakness nerfing berries.
Yeah, those are the ones you really see, especially in OU. You'll see, like, I used to see Akaberry and McGinnis, yeah, a lot, because that was a way it could try to get KOs on certain matchups, but I don't see a ton of the super effective berries. But those are the ones I see most common.
Good old
in OU.
Good old Yachi Garchomp.
Yeah. I have seen that.
Yachi Chomp.
The classic. The
classic. Copple Ferrothorn is really common on rain teams, especially.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm.
Good old Chopple.
Because that's its, functionally, that's its only weakness.
You know, I mean, fire team, technically, still.
Sort of.
Is a super effective.
Fire is still, yeah, 2x. But yeah, I mean, there's also the seeds on the kind of topic of plant items, which enables a whole other category now that we have terrains and Unburden and the same thing, such as my least favorite Pokemon, Hawlucha.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice for Hawlucha. And
he's basically got four signature items, is how I look at it in OU. Because no one else really runs. I mean, you'll see every now and again, you'll see Grassy Seed Rillaboom, but like, it's a very specific kind of team build for that. Because that way you can run Acrobatics.
You've got to really hate. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you run, I assume that's SD.
Yeah, SD,
too,
Acrobatics,
right?
Grassy Glide, and then whatever coverage Grassy you feel glide. You need for the meta at the moment. But I don't see too much,
like,
of that.
Knock off, fighting move, something. Yeah. Who knows?
But yeah, the seeds are neat. Just no one wants to use them besides Hawlucha.
Yeah.
That's because it already requires you to have a terrain on your team, too. And
yeah.
Especially when you're going to be switching out enough, unless you're coming in to, like, control the game. It's kind of a waste of an item.
They are pretty usable in VGC, though.
Super
because,
usable.
Again, yes. Like Sigma said, they're shorter matches. You have more control over the
shorter
terrain,
matches.
Hopefully.
You're not switching as much, or you're not expected to switch.
Yeah,
Didi
very often runs.
And it's important to note that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's important to note that you don't have to be touching the ground for the seed
this
to activate, as with Hawlucha. So.
Yeah. Well, Item Claws helps a lot there, too, because you have to. Not everything can be sashed.
I've seen some. I was really mad at British Gent and
Snag.
That team. Snag, thank you. Yeah, I couldn't. For some reason, it was evading me. I was really mad at them because they sniped our pick for draft league that we wanted for the team, which was Drifblim.
Oh, see, that's the kind of spice you guys needed. You didn't get. Your team was spiceless.
Yeah,
you had Thievul instead.
Yeah. We were upset. We had it. It was like, oh, this is perfect. It's got just enough meme potential with, like, Unburdened, Strength Sap, all that kind of nonsense. And then they took it. They steals it from us, and he hates them. Oh, well. But anyway, yeah, that would have been fun. The seeds are cool, and it enables a whole new style. Like, that enabled an Unburdened Sweeper to really pop off. In conjunction with terrain, of course, in a way that previously was unseen.
Because in the past, it would have been like, okay, I guess we have to sub till we get to our pinch berry. Or pinch stat berry.
Or power herb sky attack.
Yeah, it used to be power herb sky attack or like mental herb, or white herb, I'm sorry, white herb close combat. More complicated ways to do that. And Hawlucha has pretty garbage defense stats, so like being able to get that little bit of defensive boost is also pretty scary for it trying to sweep.
Yeah.
So... turned Hawlucha into a... Didn't he go to, like, UU for, like, 1 minute, and they're like, oh, God, we made a mistake, and they got kicked right back? I feel like that
basically
happened this gen.
Yeah, so unfortunately. I'm slightly
especially
glad
that
it's banished.
More...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, now that there's more...
Yeah,
because
I think Indeedee Bale was in UU at one point, and then Hawlucha fell, and it's just like, well, this is a broken combination, and then it...
it's like, we can't have this. No.
Stupid.
I mean, Pink Urchin's probably all the way down in PvP.
Yeah, it's
in
his own little special home.
Like, everyone has access to electric terrain if they really want it.
Yeah.
Or Thwacky.
Ooh, or Thwacky.
Or Thwacky, yep.
I would run Thwacky before I ran female Indeedee or Pink Urchin.
Pink Urchin could be good. Like, Shamu used that to some crazy effect. But, yeah. I mean, it's got the same attack stat as Tapu Koko.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got like 15
special
speed.
Yeah,
this is also a problem.
Oh, well. So some other items, because we mentioned the ones earlier that are kind of on people's radar for, is this broken or not? Which kind of brings up a weird thing that we haven't really seen before, other than Megastones, of course. Those were kind of its own thing. But can an item by itself be so powerful that it's unhealthy in a way?
I think the gems were that way.
Yeah.
I think the Gen 5 gems were that broken.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's how Hawlucha really got it, was Acrobatic Gem.
That's how
it really took off previously.
No, it would have been Fake Out Gem, because Normal Gem was the only one that was around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Gen 6. I keep confusing when that demon was unleashed from the depths of hell.
It would have been Normal Gem, Fake Out, because Normal Gem's the only one allowed to exist anymore.
Yeah.
Because it turns out there aren't very many good normal moves to use a normal gem with.
Yeah, I know Hitmonlee does that. Fake Out Unburden. Mm-hmm.
Unburden, yeah, I could see that.
It's not a surprise.
So yeah, that's kind of the discussion that's going on in a lot of places right now. We talked about the heavy duty boots talk where it like completely invalidates Spike Stack or Hazard teams or hazards in general that are normally used to keep things in check. It just deletes that. And makes the Pokemon shine for what it is without an item. But,
mm-hmm. I mean,
that sounds
it's an interesting thing because hazards have dominated the metagame since Skarmory. When Skarmory got spikes in Gen 2 or Gen 3? Probably Gen 3? Okay, 2? Okay. Two. So since Gen 2, hazard setting with Skarmory has like been a factor, like just a part of the game. And so every generation since.
Hazard removal has slowly been creeping back. Like once we got defog
changed it because like Starmory was like your big mon for that rapid spinning back in the day because that was like your best way of dealing with hazards. But they've with all the hazard stacking they've added a bunch of hazard removal. Like rapid spin is actually like a viable attack stat now, like a 50. Defog's everywhere, mm-hmm.
and it boosts your speed.
So like it's a double win. So that's great. You know, they gave Cinderace a really great move, and then they banned the only mon that has that move. But one day, other Pokemon should get court changed, because why does Cinderace get two signature moves when no one else gets more than one of the starters? So
Greninja got two, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has Map Block, but no one wants Map Block. Like, that's...
Greninja doesn't count.
To be fair, Map Block eventually got put on throw, too. Only for it to be removed.
Greninja doesn't count because Greninja is a totally different echelon. It's almost Charizard level of pandering. Yes.
I mean, just be glad that Cinderace didn't get Leaf Tornado.
What's Leaf Tornado do?
Have you never? It's bad. I don't know what it does. I've never seen a superior.
Oh, it's like their move. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That was probably the worst starter signature move I've ever seen.
It was neat enough, but then they, you walk to the place and get tutored Grassy Pledge, which is the same thing, so whatever.
Like, I actually don't know what Leaf Tornado actually does.
It lowers
like, Mystical Fire was cool, Spiky Shield was cool, Water Shuriken's cool.
Yeah.
Like, Leaf Tornado's so sad.
Yeah.
Has a 50% chance to lower accuracy.
You.
It's not even a signature move anymore.
No.
I don't even think it was.
Most starters have lost their signature moves at this point.
Yeah, except for Decidueye, which needs distribution. That's
going to be a move that impacts the meta when it gets distributed, because Spirit Shackle has a lot of trapping. Yeah, it's like it has good. Value. It's just Decidueye is too much of a mixed attacker and a bad speed stat that he can't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
What's with Grass Ghosts liking to trap things in?
I love Grass Ghosts. That's one of the
It went from
things.
None to like a bunch in like one generation.
In one generation.
Like Gen 6 added two
because
lines.
Because if you count all the Pumpkaboos.
And then Gen 7 added two more. Yeah. But both with trapping moves for some reason.
I forgot about Anchor Shot.
I love that typing for some reason. I wish they were good.
I know. Like, why can't they be fast? They all have, like, a good attack stat,
I like
but
Dumb
they can't
so
go
much.
Anywhere, like, with any sort of speed.
And all of Dumb them got Poltergeist, cool. I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. I assume Gorgeist has it. It's the only one I'm not sure about.
I know what Gorgeist
does. I think
does.
It does.
I don't know if Trevenant does.
Yeah,
I think it does.
I know it does because Claude had it for PDL last season, and he had to be careful because he got destroyed 1 week because someone didn't put an item on their mon, and Poltergeist was not doing anything.
Nice.
I like Poltergeist. Poltergeist is yes. a well-designed move.
Which is good for when everything has items, which is kind of yes. What we're on
yes.
here.
Yeah.
And that's a viable strategy. Like, between that and also things with knockoff and how it was changed from one generation to the next, a lot of things like Tangrowth I've seen often don't run an item, so they can switch in on common knockoff users like a Crawdaunt. Because that, when that Gen 6 change happened, where it cranked the power from 20 to 65 and a 50% boost when it removes something, like,
you know,
holy mackerel.
Thank goodness they made it 65. Imagine if it was a mistake and they put it at 60 and we let Scizor be running around with Technician. Yeah, like, no. I'm glad they, like, at least had right? awareness that enough was... to be like, yeah, this needs to be 65. Good on them.
I might not. I might not.
That was a very precise decision.
They yes, understood.
No. They've done no, that a couple times, no
technician.
I think.
No Technician. No.
Yeah. And one thing, I guess, that I can mention here that I've had to really hardwire my brain into remembering, that knockoff power boost happens, you know, when it removes an item, and then it's 65 power yes. from then on. But for people who like to use things with, like, sticky hold, like Gastrodon, I'm a Gastrodon yeah. guy, and if the item cannot be removed because of an ability like that sticky hold, it still gets the 50% power boost every time it's hit.
Ooh.
But if the Pokemon has what I've call like a signature item, basically, that can't be removed because the item is what it is, like a Megastone, a plate, a drive, the rusty shield, or something like that. If it's a signature item along those lines, the power boost does not occur.
Oh, so this is another reason why Zamazenta was really desired. I thought it still got the power boost, yep. but it was like, why does it matter? Because Zamazenta's defense stat is enormous.
Yeah.
A fighting type.
Yeah.
If there's some other feature that makes the item incapable of being knocked off on that isn't an ability, like it's hard coded into that Pokemon and that item, it does not get the power
boost. I didn't know that.
If the item cannot be removed.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Man, just give Silvally a recover yep. and like we've solved this. We've solved.
Right.
Like, that's all, like, it needs. And then we get whatever type Silvally of the month people want to run. It can just be defensive and run recover. Then you answer your knockoff, because that's mm-hmm. the big thing with, so that's like the double edged sword with boots right now, which is like the main item that like everyone cares about this generation, because like things like Moltres are actually viable now, as long as you can hide from the knockoffs.
Yeah.
But Moltres is fine taking other physical attacks because of Flame Body. But, oh my God, and I lost my train of thought.
You want something to reward
yes,
to punish the
yes.
knockoff, basically.
Like, I don't know. I don't mind boots in this generation. I know it's been like a hot topic as the last few months, but like heavy duty boots really have been a nice addition to the meta. The thing I'm surprised about is that the meta hasn't adapted a lot to be heavy on spikes usage, because people that run boots are putting it primarily on things that are weak to rocks. You know, you'll see Slowbros with boots because they pivot in a lot. Same with Blissey's, but they're also the first thing that's willing to give up their item to like a weak knockoff. They'll always be the ones that take it first. So I would have thought spikes would have picked yeah. up in utility as like a stacking hazard, because things are fragile to that because they're not wearing boots for it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I would say they kind of have, but the problem there is that we just don't have enough setters.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. I mean, you got Mew and Ferrothorn are like the two most viable OU setters for it right now. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
and Skarmory.
That's the only other one I
can
think of.
Yeah, so you got three. I mean, Ferrothorn and Skarmory like remain OU viable, and like it's very easy to do. It's not necessarily the best way to be using your Mew, unless that's how you're building the team from the beginning. Like, if you're starting off with I want a spiking Mew, like then that's more viable.
Right. And it's difficult now because in the same time they introduced heavy duty boots, they introduced the god tier defogger in Corviknight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of a double whammy there, where it's going to be real easy to remove them with something that likes to come in on a Ferrothorn in some cases, or a Skarmory in some cases, because they can't touch it, and then just get rid of them. So,
I think after this episode, I'm going to go build a Mew team that spikes with spikes and taunt, recover, and then like a pivot move and see how it goes. So that way
Just go bloodthirsty hyper offense.
That's not my style. I just want to keep setting spikes when it's free to set spikes and then whittle you down and keep taunting you so you can't defog them. That's what I want to do with him, Mio. I can't do the hyper offense. I'm bad at that. I tried it. I've used sample teams. I almost always lose. I just can't. I can't go aggressive enough with a hyper offense, but I want to play with spikes. I've been doing it a lot in my draft league because I have a Skarmory right now and it's just been tearing with spikes. And I want to try that more on the OU ladder. And I think it's more viable than I've given it credit for this generation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like boots. I like boots. I think they make things, I think they've added things to the meta that have made, that are now usable that weren't usable before. I loved, I talked about this when it happened, when Crown Tundra came out, how happy I was Moltres was viable in this generation.
Yeah.
And I know it's taken a fall off because some of the things it was addressing have gotten banned or kicked out of the meta. bye-bye Urshifu. There was something else too it was doing a good job with. But now...
Kind of Magearna, sort of. Not really.
I'd imagine it does decent. I'd imagine it does okay against Cinderace.
Yes.
It does, because Cinderace would just click U-turn, and it turns into a bug and can be burned.
Yes,
and then
yes.
can get burned.
Burn Cinderace. Yeah, so it lost some of its potency, but I enjoyed that it was able to come and hang out in the meta and like be usable, because it was just losing to its... you know, older brother Zapdos for like generations, because why would you run this Moltres that dies to rocks when Zapdos doesn't die as much to rocks and still paralyzes, which is just as useful because ground types aren't immune to that. So you really just have to care about fire types, or not fire types, electric types.
Yeah. Yep. I really hope Knockoff gets some kind of nerf personally.
Yeah.
Because right now with no Z moves, well, no Mega Stones, we have nothing.
That's
to
the
take
problem them. Right now.
There's, it's a zero so the cost thing- move.
I think the problem is that it's not distributed this generation, so they
yes,
don't care.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, that's their way of nerfing it, is by not having it be a tutor move or a TR or a TM.
Right.
Because that's how they play their game.
Yeah.
So they're probably not going to do anything with it, because their way of doing it is
the most relevant user in the entire meta right now is Rillaboom. Like, by from their point of view, because mm-hmm. Rillaboom actually is usable in both VGC and BSS. And it's one of the mods they promoted that has its own Gigantamax form, and it actually runs Knockoff quite a bit. That's their only, other than that, there's not like a huge Knockoff user by Pokemon standards right now that I can think of.
Yeah. Like they control who gets it in their metagames. So that's their control valve. And that's not something that OU has. Like, unless they wanted to be like, okay, they have to be Battle Mark ready or whatever.
Yeah, which will never happen. I wish it would, but it'll never happen.
I think that would be really interesting.
As a meta, absolutely. Right?
I could use Corsola. Get,
bring back Corsola, yes. Bring back Galarian Corsola.
The perfect Hawlucha killer. Oh, well. But yeah. Knockoff is what it is. Items are what they are. And there's some niche ones that we didn't even have time to talk about that are really just cool for specific things. Like, you know, there's Thick Club for the Marowak line. There's protective pads if you don't want to touch
Urshifu
anything.
With protective
there's
pads
the Assault
is definitely
Fest.
Like... seeing some niche usage. Like, it's solid.
I've been using Melmetal with it.
Because most of the switch-ins, like Moltres or like Ferrothorn, like they're counting on their ability to just punish you for clicking Surging Strikes, and if you aren't punished for that...
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
And then you switch moves on. Now it's close combat time. Yeah, but that's taken off really well. Protective Pads is a cool niche item that it just took a little bit of time for people to figure out was cool.
Yeah. They needed a multi-strike Mon that was good in the meta. I mean, you know, Urshifu Rapid Strike always was worse than Single Strike, but now that Single Strike is gone, Rapid Strike has viability, and if you want to punish it, you'll try to run things like Rocky Helmet on a Ferrothorn, but if Urshifu doesn't have to care about that, real scary.
Yep. And on top of that, there was the Weather Rocks that became relevant after Gen 6.
After the Great Weather nerf.
when it was no longer permanent. So those are now relevant.
Yeah, Pelipper's Pelipper's running those a lot.
Mm-hmm. That is specs.
I hate when I get caught off guard by a spec set. I'm like, oh yeah, you're just a weak little Pelipper. I'll send in something, and then it does like 80% to my switch in.
Nuclear Hurricane.
I'm like, oh god.
Like, eat my Hurricane.
Weather Ball of Doom.
So yeah, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap it up on our item talk. Do you guys have any last thoughts or comments on items in general? How about you, McGee?
You know,
anything?
I would just like to have more items that can't be knocked off, so we have more Mons that can just be that cushion, because I think that solves a lot of problems where something can eat that knockoff and not lose their item, and then everyone's happy, which we took for granted because we had so many things last generation, because like every team had a Mega and a Z Crystal, and now we have zero of those. And so nothing's protected anymore. And so that's what's making everyone angry about this move, is that you have no switch ins for it anymore without losing the item. Bring that back. Find a solution. Mm-hmm. Give Silvalle recover. That's my pick. We'll see what happens.
Right. How about you, Sigma?
I just want Megas back. Just give us Megas.
Yeah, please. All right. Well, I think that's where we'll call it. We don't have a team of the episode this month, so you'll just have to listen to our item thing. That's our team. Our team is items. Yeah.
Yeah.
Haha. So if you like what you hear, then we've got more for you, of course. We've got the main Puckle show that comes out every Monday on the Puckle feed. You're listening to us on the Puckle Plus feed. There's also other shows here on this Plus feed that come out every Thursday, unless you're a lazy bum and have a busy week like me and they come out on Friday sometimes. We've got the TCG cast that happens. We've got the Trivia Game Corner. Wow. Game Corner 2.0 thing that happens. And the Trivia Rewind.
Rewind. Try it again.
Trivia Rewind. I need coffee, guys.
Yeah. The perfect chance to listen to four-year-old trivia.
Yay. I mean, sometimes it's relevant. Sometimes they ask what the heaviest Pokemon is.
It's fun to listen back. It's fun to listen back.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of nifty. But other than that, there's also ways you can support. But most importantly, come to Discord. That's where things happen. That's where you can get involved in the tournaments, chat with any one of us anytime you like to, and ask questions, get answers that are probably relevant to your question. And, you know, that's where the lifeblood of Puckle is right now, is in that Discord server. So hop in. It's fun. It's a grand old time. Also, there's our Twitter to catch news on what we're doing, what's going on. There's the Facebook that also kind of does some of that stuff. There's the Instagram that's pretty good with getting news out as well, and you can interact with there. And I think that about covers all of the things that I'm supposed to talk about here at the end of all these shows. So, until next time, I have been Seth Vilo.
I have been P. McGee.
And I've been R. Sigma.
And we'll catch you guys in June.
Goodbye.
Side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.